Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a long time in coming, but spring is finally here. And I know it started officially a few weeks back, but only in the past week or so has it really seemed to settle in. The crocuses are blooming, the lawns are greening up, and trees are just now beginning to bud. And I know today seems like an exception, but before too long, we'll be able to put away the coats and the jackets for good. Spring brings with it the promise of new and different things. Projects to get started, outdoor events to plan, countless things to get done. Perhaps you've even dusted off that New Year's resolution from a few months ago. Because spring and the season of spring is one full of hope and promise. And this is no more evident in the Chicagoland area than in the world of baseball. Whatever your favorite team may be, spring brings with it the hope of a new season. 162 new chances to win. A new season means a bright future, another chance, a new start. Spring is the opportunity to become winners in baseball. Yes, springtime and spring weather, spring baseball, bring the hope and promise of good things. But, as all Chicago fans know, whether you're a Southsider or a Northsider, certainly Northsiders, things take a turn for the worse. It's a bit like Palm Sunday, if you think about it. We have come to the end of Lent, Jesus' journey to Jerusalem is wrapping up, and it appears to be ending on a high note. The shouts, the palm leaves, the parade. It seems that the long journey out of darkness and into light will come out okay. But, as we all know, things take a turn for the worse, or so it would seem. It's Palm Sunday, and the gospel tells the familiar story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. They're all there, his disciples, his friends, and we can assume Mary, his mother, as well. The crowds who had heard about Lazarus's miracle are there, and of course the Pharisees are there too, hiding off in the shadows. It looks as if most were caught up in all the excitement and the hubbub. Jesus was coming, the feeder of the 5,000, the man who brought sight to the blind man, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, the miracle worker, the Nazarene prophet and teacher who had been creating such a buzz for the past 3 years. And with him he brings the promise of new things, a new season, the promise of a bright future, of making everyone winners. In fact, everyone was so caught up in the excitement that they shout the ancient songs of King David, songs from the Psalms. Hosanna, they shout, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. It's an exciting time, and it is a well-deserved psalm to sing for Jesus. He has, in fact, come to save Israel and all of mankind. He is, in fact, the Blessed One who does come in the name of the Lord. But he does not come to make us earthly winners. He does not come solely to give us earthly comfort or take away our earthly pain. No, he comes to rescue us from the damnation of sin and eternal death. He comes to bring us out of our earthly sinful darkness and into his eternal and heavenly light. And he comes to do it in a way that is not our way. He comes to do it in a way that only Jesus, the Son of God, yet Son of Man, could do it. He comes to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies, to take away our sin, and then carry it and that sin to the cross. And there he nails it. He comes to stand in our place, and he comes to die for us. And that is why we sing and why we give him all glory, laud, and honor. But that's not why all the mixed crowds had gathered. Many had gathered to see the miracle worker, the winner. They wanted to get a glimpse of the person who might be able to get them out from Roman rule, the person who would be an earthly king of Israel, another David. And that's why many in this crowd abandoned Jesus in just a matter of days. Like fair-weather baseball fans, as soon as things took a turn for the worse, they abandoned him. In fact, even his disciples would become confused and disorganized. And yes, even Peter would deny Jesus 3 times. The storm that was developing just over the horizon would take all the brightness out of this day and plunge everything back into darkness. So yes, as Pastor said, today is Palm Sunday in the church calendar, but it is also Passion Sunday. It is our day to turn and face Holy Week. And yes, it starts out brightly with palm branches and psalms, but then the focus turns to the dark days to come. To Thursday, the upper room, the Lord's Supper, the betrayal, the prayer in the garden, and the capture. Then come the trials, the tortures, the whips, and the thorns. Moving on to Friday, the cross, the nails, the pain, the vinegar and the blood. Then comes death. And Jesus, innocent and sinless Jesus, endures all this for us sinners. What will happen in this coming week is the whole reason Jesus came down from heaven. It is why he became a man. We have been leading up to this week since Advent, since the Annunciation, when Mary and all of humankind first heard that the Savior would be coming into the world. The heading in many Bibles for today's section of John's Gospel is entitled The Triumphant Entry. I've often felt this was somewhat of a misnomer. Really, where is the triumph? Yes, the people shout out, "Blessed is he," but many of them don't understand why. Even his disciples didn't fully understand. The fact is, many of the same voices that shout today, "Blessed is he," will change their tune. All too soon, they will begin shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him, and give us Barabbas." So this is a short-lived triumph today. It is a bittersweet entry into Jerusalem. Jesus' true triumph will come in just a few more days, and it will come in a very Jesus sort of way. His ways, God's ways, are not always our ways, remember? Jesus does not do things the way we would. Jesus' ultimate triumph, his greatest show of power, will come when all appears to be in darkness, when Jesus appears to be at his weakness, because Jesus' ultimate victory will be in his all-availing sacrifice and his death on the cross. It is on the cross where the spotless Lamb of God carried our individual sins, as well as the sins of the entire world. And it's on the cross where he pays full price for them. When he cries out, "It is finished," he truly has completed his mission on earth. He had not just conquered sin, he had conquered Satan as well. Jesus' triumph, his winning moment, was in the moment of his death. Those crowds with the palm branches so many years ago may have shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because they thought this humble miracle worker would make them all winners, that he would free them from the iron-fisted rule of the Romans. They may have shouted it because they thought he would make life better for them, that he would feed them as he did the 5,000. They may have even shouted, "Blessed is he," simply because everyone else around them was doing it. But we shouted in our churches today for a different reason. We shout it, or to be honest, we sing it every Sunday, because we know and understand all that Jesus did for us. And this is the point of Paul's epistle. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above all names, above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. God the Father exalted Jesus because he humbled himself. God raised Jesus up because Jesus lowered himself. And it is because Jesus died for us that we sing, "Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Because our Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, became man. Because he took upon himself each and every one of our sins, the big ones, the little ones, and yes, even our favorite secret personal ones. He took them and he took the punishment for them. That is why we sing this psalm. St. Paul urges us to drop to our knees because of this, that when we hear the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Yes, it is that important. Maybe you've noticed that Pastor Bala and other pastors and vicars give a slight bow when we sing this praise. It's an ancient church tradition, and it has no value as far as salvation goes, but it's a good tradition. It's a very small acknowledgement of all that Christ has done for us. Unlike the gathered crowds outside of Jerusalem those many years ago, we do have the full knowledge of Christ's sacrificial work. We know how the events of the coming week will turn out. We know that after all the betrayals, trials, and sufferings, after the scourging, and after the cross, Christ will in fact come out victorious. We know that he will not only conquer sin and the devil, but he will conquer even death itself. We know that, in fact, he will triumph. He will win, and in his victory, he will make us winners too. But today, as we put Lent behind us and enter into Holy Week, let's focus on all that Christ has in front of him. Let's focus and pay attention to the pain, the struggles, and the temptations he will face. And he will do that because of us. Let us appreciate the immense love of our God, a God who would go through such torment to give us, his sinful children, eternal life. Yes, like every spring, Holy Week starts out bright and full of promises. And yes, like weather or even baseball in Chicago, it will take a turn for the worse. But we do not lose heart. We do not abandon our Lord when the darkness seems to become overwhelming. We do not abandon him because we know of the glorious light that we have waiting for us just around the corner. We know that glory, we know of the glory that will shine on the other side of the cross. No, we do not abandon him. Instead, we drop to our knees and proclaim, "Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in the holy name of Jesus. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.